coming to you from the Lydia Media Studios in the heart of Lewiston, Auburn. It's Lydia's Lunch Bunch, LA's afternoon morning show with Mark, Sarah, and JC. We're covering news and events in the greater LA area and talking to the people making a difference in our community. Feel free to share your comments, questions, or suggestions via email at podcast@lydiamediallc.com.
And today's show is powered by Dubloy Electric, building lasting relationships since 1967. From homes to businesses, their licensed, fully trained technicians handle it all. Repairs, upgrades, standby generators, EV chargers, heat pumps, and more. No job is too big and no job is too small. Learn more at DubloyElectric.com. Also brought to you by Rupert's Beverage and Redemption. When it comes to beer, wine, and spirits, don't botch it. Squatch it. At 4 locations in Lewiston, Auburn, and Oxford. Learn more at rupersbeverage.com. And remember, the party starts at Rupert's.
I loved watching Shanna wait for the squatch it
cue. I know.
I got it, right?
I get it? Nailed it.
Yeah.
Our guest in studio is the president and CEO of the Lewiston Auburn Metropolitan Chamber of Commerce, Shanna Cox. Welcome back.
Hello. It's so good to be here.
You look very festive.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm wearing a scarf. That does it, right? This time of year, all of a sudden you put extra attention.
A fashion scarf. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Not just like a scarf.
But it is also warm.
We're going to talk to Shanna all about finest under 40, Stuff the Bus, Brewing Connections, and a whole lot more coming up here in just a bit. But before we get there, let's take a look at some headlines for Tuesday, November 11th, which is also Veterans Day, which honors all individuals who have served in the United States military. Mm-hmm. Thank you for your service.
Mm-hmm. Central Maine Medical Center's decision not to seek verification as a trauma center leaves Maine with only two, Maine Medical Center in Portland and Eastern Maine Medical Center in Bangor. CMMC will join about 30 trauma system hospitals in the state.
The Auburn Resource Center will be closed on Thursday and Friday for parking lot paving. The center is home to the city's business and community development, general assistance, and public health offices. Staff will still be available by phone and email to answer questions and schedule appointments.
Forecasts from the National Weather Service predict an average winter for Maine. Average high temperatures from December through March will be around 35 degrees and lows will be around 18. Average snowfall is 68 inches. Last year was well below average at only 54.
And the City of Lewiston invites you to attend the grand opening of Lewiston Fire Station No. 5. The new station represents safety, service, and community pride. The ribbon-cutting ceremony is scheduled for Wednesday, November 19th at 10:30 a.m. at 9 Captain Bazinet Way.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's time for the weather.
Rain or shine, it's all okay. Grab your uke and start the day. You don't need perfect skies above. Hey, just a song and a little love.
Jazz hands.
Jazz hands.
Cloudy today with possible snow showers this afternoon. We'll have a high of 44 and a low of 30. It will be cloudy all day tomorrow. High of 41 and a low of 30. Cloudy on Thursday with highs and lows in the lows of 40s.
In sports, the Bruins host the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight at 7.
The Celtics will visit the Philadelphia 76ers tonight at 8.
How's about that Cooper Flagg?
Whoop, whoop.
Scored a career-high 26 points. His career is only, what, 9 games old?
3 months old.
Yeah.
Whatever.
26 points for the Maine basketball phenom. He scored for his Dallas Mavericks in a 116-114 loss to the Milwaukee Bucks.
Ah. Central Maine Community College basketball will host Great Bay Community College tonight in Auburn. The women tip off at 6 and the men at 8.
Dalton Wing was named the Yankee Small College Conference Men's Soccer Coach of the Year. Wing, who also serves as a Lewiston police officer, led the Mustangs to an unbeaten season and the YSCC Championship. CM will face Paul Smith's College in the National Championship Tournament on Friday.
And Rob Gronkowski will sign a one-day contract and retire as a member of the New England Patriots this week. Gronk holds several franchise records, including most career touchdown receptions, 79, most games with multiple touchdowns, 16, and most games with 100-plus receiving yards by a tight end, 26.
That is your news, weather, and sports. And right now it's time for the podcast segment that is
sweeping
the Twin Cities. It's time for Famous People Birthdays.
They're famous. It's their birthdays. It's Famous People Birthdays. It's Famous People Birthdays.
Let's take a look at FPBs for November the 11th, shall we?
Mm.
All righty. We're going to start off with Leonardo de Capricorn. Oh, sorry. Leonardo DiCaprio, who is 51 years old today. Everyone have a favorite Leo movie? Mine is Django Unchained.
Oh.
I'm really bad at names, but it's the one about the airplanes where he was a con artist the whole time.
Oh, Catch Me If You Can.
Thank you.
That's my favorite, oh, okay, too.
It's so good.
Yeah. Most people would say Titanic. That's interesting that neither... None of us chose Titanic.
Well, JC hasn't weighed in yet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I actually just watched Shutter Island for the first time, like, a couple months ago. That one was pretty good.
Yeah.
That's creepy, right? That's like a scary movie.
It was creepy.
It was like, it messed with your mind a little bit.
In 2016, Leo appeared in Time Magazine's 100 Most Influential People in the World, right beside Shanna Cox.
Mm.
He was also voted one of the 50 Greatest Actors of All Time in a 2022 readers poll by Empire Magazine. Calista Flockhart is 61 years old today.
Oh.
She was on the Ally McBeal from 97 to 2002.
That was a fun show because that was like, for me, that was like what my brain actually was like most of the time, where I suddenly broke into song inside my head.
I think it normalized the internal monologue for a lot of people.
I think so too.
She was also on Brothers and Sisters and is married to one Harrison Ford. And rounding out FPBs for November the 11th is Demi Moore, who is 63 years old today. She was one of the Brat Pack. She's been in a bunch of movies.
Mm-hmm. So G.I. Jane.
G.I. Jane. Oh, don't say that around Will Smith.
Ooh.
It was such a good movie, though. And did you know that she was not supposed to shave her head?
Oh.
Like, they had a prosthetic...
All set.
I don't know if you can call it a wig when it's bald, but they had a prosthetic for her, and she was like part of the reason that she was not supposed to shave her head is because she's a woman in Hollywood and your hair means da da da. And she just felt like that was the antithesis of the role she was playing in the character. And so she committed and they almost didn't catch it on camera because she was like, no, I'm doing it. And they tried to stop her.
What?
Yeah. So that scene is like real and unplanned. And
wow.
I just learned that kind of background the other day. I was like, that's awesome.
That is. That's very interesting. Mm-hmm. She was in St. Elmo's Fire in 85 and Ghost in 1990.
Mm-hmm.
Indecent Proposal.
That's a big one, right?
That's a popular one.
Yeah. Those are your FPBs for November the 11th. Now it's time for some OTDs.
It happened on this day. It happened on this day. It happened on this day.
Oh, man. Shannon's got the devil horns up.
Yeah. If you're going to lean into the genre, you got to lean in.
Love it.
Yeah.
44 years ago in 1981, Los Angeles Dodgers pitcher Fernando Valenzuela became the first player to win Rookie of the Year and the Cy Young Award in the same season.
He was quite good.
Yeah.
Yeah, Fernando Mania swept the country
in the
early 80s.
83 years ago in 1942, Congress lowered the draft age from 21 to 18. 87 years ago in 1938, Irving Berlin's peace song, God Bless America, was sung for the first time by Kate Smith, a.k.a. the First Lady of Radio, on her network radio show, and all royalties from the song went to the Boys and Girl Scouts of America.
All right, Kate.
Go Scouts!
Go Scouts!
That's right.
No, I'm a sucker.
104 years ago in 1921, President Warren G. Harding dedicated the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier at Arlington National Cemetery in Arlington, Virginia, where they interred the casket of a randomly selected soldier from World War I. Caskets for an unknown from World War II and the Korean War were added in the 50s and the Vietnam War in the 80s. 107 years ago... In 1918, World War I ended on the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. General Irwin T. Parkleton called it the war to end all wars. November 11th was formerly known as Armistice Day. Mm-hmm. Today, it's called Veterans Day. And that answers the question as to why is it always on the 11th?
Yeah.
Whether that's a Tuesday or a Friday or whatever it is. Armistice Day.
Yes.
I had someone recently say, like, can we just make it Monday?
Yeah.
And... No.
Yeah.
Just no.
There's a very good reason why you can't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's time to take a quick history lesson.
Yeah. This was supposed to be the day that meant that we would never again have a world war.
Yeah.
Yeah, that worked out.
That worked out.
Those are your FPBs and OTDs for November the 11th.
Whether you want a sit-down meal or a grab-and-go, Pat's Pizza in Auburn offers delicious sandwiches, pasta, salads, and pizza at family-friendly prices. Pat's Pizza, serving the L.A. area since 1985. Open daily from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. at 85 Center Street in Auburn. Online at patsauburn.com.
Hi, it's Donna Harris from Phoenix No Limits Karate here with your daily safety tip. Teach your kids to never go with anyone unless they know the family password, even if it's an adult they know or think they know. Let's all do our best to keep our community safe.
And now we shift focus fully to our guest in studio, not partially, fully. President and CEO of the Lewiston Auburn Metropolitan Chamber of Commerce, Shanna Cox. Let's start off with Finest Under 40.
Yeah.
Voting is now closed.
Closed Sunday night at midnight, and record number of votes this year. More than 5,000 people voted. And there's a lot of, like, voting campaigns out there for different things. Unlike a lot of them, this one, you get one vote per email, like, per your email address. And so it really means that, like, 5,000 people engaged, checked out all of the nominees. There's, you know, more than 40 nominees, all under 40, and learned a little bit about how rising professionals are contributing to our community, to our workforce, to our government. And it was just, it's a banner year. And I think for us at the, so that the Chamber supports Uplift LA. It's a group of rising professionals that is led by rising professionals. Their work is steered by rising professionals and what they want to do. It is our pleasure to serve them and to support them. And for us, all of that work is about, you know, cultivating a culture of appreciating younger people in our workforce and people who are rising in their careers. And I think for a time, it was really kind of like white-collar professional careers. And the work that the committee and the leadership of Uplift LA has done over the last 5 years has really become, I think, broader and more inclusive and frankly, more representative of our economy and our workforce. And so there's, you know, trades in there. There's artists in there. There's tattoo artists in there. And I think it's just, it warms my heart, honestly. I know that sounds like super silly, and I'm, you know, a mom over here, but it really does. It warms my heart that this community showed up so strong to reflect that they care about rising professionals. And it just, you know, for the goals of why we do this particular program, we haven't even held the event yet, and we're killing it, right? Yeah. Like, just, it feels really great to recognize people who are younger and really leaning in. And so many, if you can still see who was nominated, the awardees, there's an awardee per category. They're announced at the event on the 25th. And so, no, I will not look at the results. No, I will not tell you so that you know whether you should buy a table or a ticket. I've gotten a lot of those requests in the last week. And I won't share that information. In fact, I won't access that information. That was a fun internal team conversation yesterday. Justin is our events coordinator, and we're at a team meeting, and he says, oh, check your email. The voting just came through, and it's registered from the committee leadership. Had just emailed it. Zach, shout out to you, who's done a ton of back-end work this year. I literally stopped the conversation. I said, stop. I don't want to know. I don't want you to talk about it. I don't want you to say it out loud. I don't want to know because, A, I'm not sure I can withstand the pressure of people asking and me being able to say I don't know if I know. Mm-hmm. But also I have a son in this year's program, and it's been really interesting. I was a Finest Under 40, or back then it was a 40 Under 40 nominee. And so it's just really cool to see what it means to him and his coworkers and his friends to on the other side of things. So I don't know, and I don't have anything to do with voting, and I refuse to find out.
All right. Keep it secret.
Integrity matters, and I don't trust myself to know and not, like, make a face when somebody asks.
I have something to tell you.
Yeah, so I'm not – anyway. But it's it's a really, really exciting year. The event is at the Hilton. That's always a ton of fun, and we get to celebrate and recognize everybody who was nominated while also giving out awards to the top vote-getter in each category. And so – yeah, it's been really rewarding. And what's interesting, so, like, you know, been at this a while now, past awardees and honorees are now employers of people who were nominated and voted on. And it's just really exciting to see those folks are now community leaders, are now business owners, and recognize the importance of supporting a younger generation. And
They can see themselves.
Yeah, it's really, I love you, LA. Great job. Yeah. Makes me proud.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So if you want to go to the big event, that's happening November 25th at the Hilton.
Tickets on sale. There's a good chance they'll sell out. So go get yours, support your awardee. Just sign up for a fun night, in all honesty. There's a photo booth and music and good food. And yeah, it's a good time.
Tis the holiday season once again, Miss Shanna, and that means stuff the bus.
It's a whole extravaganza.
It sure
for
is.
Us. It's
grown so
it's,
much.
And also warms my heart. This is like the best feel good part of our year at the Chamber. So, Stuff the Bus is a program that got started. We go through this every year while we're on the bus that day picking up all the items, but 23 years ago, I think it started. It's grown, as you said, Sarah, so much over the years. So we supported last year, and we're still like finalizing signups right now. But last year we supported 29 nonprofits and worked with 45 plus businesses. And so we work with nonprofit partners who in their day-to-day work and in their core missions, support our most vulnerable community members. And that looks like supporting homeless youth and working with New Beginnings. It looks like supporting vulnerable families and working with Community Concepts and all of their social workers. It looks like serving seniors in senior-serving organizations like Senior Plus. And shout out to Dawn, our operations manager, who lobbied internally and 2 years ago got her wish. We all also work with two pet pantries and take care of our vulnerable pets. And so whatever you feel strongly about, there is certainly a way for you to support those folks in our county. And so, yeah, it's just this, we kick off the campaign now. The boxes and posters will be up shortly in public drop-off locations. That information will be updated on our website. We just kind of closed sign-ups and are finalizing that I think, Monday. And so, yeah, you'll be able to bring stuff somewhere. You can always bring it to the Chamber if you'd like. And then we take a day with our friends at Northeast Charter, and there's a ridiculously huge bus. We have to literally shut down a lane in front of the Chamber so that we can load the bus. It's a huge bus, and we get on the bus, a core group of us, and drive around to all of our public drop-off spots, and we stuff the bus, and we can't fit it on the bus anymore, which is a really, really incredible...
And you use, like, under the bus, and in the bus.
The headrest above, all of the seats inside the bus, and there's, like, a whole method to stacking from the back front and then layering once you've got a foundation down, and bikes and little scooters go underneath the bus and sleds. And so, yeah, there's a whole mechanism to it. And then we unload the bus like with a fireman's brigade of volunteers. So everybody's an arm length away. And we just, which is a lot of fun because sometimes we work with the hockey team and we Uplift shows up with their young professionals. And so when we're unloading, say, things like footballs and soccer balls, they sometimes skip the line, I guess is what I would say. And there's just random chucking of some toys that that can handle the chucking, of course.
Like
but
that.
Yeah, and so everything comes inside. We partner with the Hilton and we unload everything. We organize everything kind of by group. Is this a food item? Is this clothing item? Is it, blankets and household supplies? Because, we put up a wish list and a lot of people don't realize that a good portion of items on the wish list are things like diapers and laundry detergent and like basic household needs. And part of that is at the holidays, if you're having to make hard choices, you might be choosing to go without some of those basics, or you're buying those basics and not putting a gift under the tree. And so, by donating those items, you're giving a parent a chance to buy something that they know their kid will love and wrap it. And so, yeah, we pull everything into the Hilton. It looks like a crazy warehouse for a number of hours in the morning. And then all of our amazing volunteers take the separate wish lists from all of the nonprofits and essentially go shopping and reorganize everything. And then that night we have a Connections for Cause. And so a little business after hours at the Hilton, and come to that. It's free. It's open to the public. It feels amazing to see what our community is capable of. And you walk in and you get to meet people from the organization and hear about their mission, but you also see how this community shows up each year. And every year that I walk in that moment, like, it catches in my throat a little bit. It's really incredible. And so we get to celebrate all of the people doing that work and all of the people who donated or contributed or acted as a public drop-off location. And it feels amazing. And there's a photo booth and beverages. I mean, it's a fun night that just reminds you of how lucky we are to live in this community. Yeah. And then the next morning, that Thursday, is our traditional chamber breakfast, which we, in December, make into a marketplace. And that's also open to the public. That is also free. And so if you are a, you know, support local, shop local kind of person and hate spending days shopping, stop by the Hilton that Thursday morning, because we bring all of our members into one place and you can get the gift cards, you can get items, you can get gift baskets. It's a really incredible, quick and easy way to shop on your way to work that morning and know that you are supporting local business owners who are the same people who support our like little league teams and do incredible things in our community. And so that whole week is a bananas stretch for our team. It's a wild week. We wear lots of ugly sweaters and jingly headbands and antlers, and it's a ton of fun. And one of the things that folks might not realize we do, you can be a wish list sponsor for Stuff the Bus, which essentially is you saying, "Dear God, I hate shopping. Take my money and go buy things, please. Thank you." We're happy to do that. And so we wait to go shopping until after we've collected everything to see what the gaps are in the wish list. And so there's a core group of us that go to Walmart. Shout out to Walmart for being a member. We go to Walmart and commandeer 8 or 10 carts and shop like crazy the night before all of the organizing happens with the gifts. And it's a crazy experience. Like, it's feels a little like supermarket sweep. We sometimes are competitive and race each other through the store. And then the checkout takes forever. But yeah, our little chamber elves get busy the night after collection so that we can figure out what it is. And Justin's doing an amazing job with the program, but I would be remiss to not shout out Katie, our prior director of events, who's doing great. We miss her. She helped, I mean, this was her passion project. And so she's the reason that this program is a well-oiled machine and is so much more impactful these days. And so, yeah, we're really excited but you should see our team calendars is just like a big week-long block of crazy because we're super busy. And yeah, it's a really, really fun time for us. And so in whatever way people, you know, are compelled to participate or to witness it or to enjoy it, there is, I promise you, something for you that week. Mm. You can come and you're like, "I don't like crowds." Great. Come and help organize in the morning, or come help, you know, shop for the families, or yeah, come and have drinks and just be amazed at what our communities,
what you've done.
Yeah. Yeah. Or go shopping. Like, literally there's something for everybody that week. And so second week of December.
I feel like that we did that last year. Mark and Pam and I went over to the chamber breakfast and we interviewed people on the go and had a good time. And then Mark and Pam came back here and I shopped. I came back with a bag full of gifts. I was like, I'll be over in just a minute. Hang on.
It's like, so the, you know, first world problems. And so excuse me for complaining, but, you know, I have to work that day. Like, I'm doing a job and I'm trying to do my job well while I'm, you know, in the room. But the reality is I also want to shop.
Yeah.
And so God bless our members. It's usually me coming around and pointing and being like, "Put that aside, run it. And here's my card. I'll come back." And
yes,
it's just me doing that. Like, a whole bunch of different spots
in
between, you know, the things that I'm supposed to be doing that day. But it's such a great opportunity.
You need to bring a shopper with you.
Listen.
And be like, take them around. Be like that.
Yes.
Give them your card.
That. I do absolutely need to do that. Because it's
I'd volunteer, but I'm also supposed to be working.
See, that's the thing. That's the thing, right? Yeah. It's tough when your work is so awesome and you love it and you also can't fully participate in the things you're doing, which are cool all the time.
Yeah.
I've been to a couple of those nights at the Hilton. They are emotional.
They're so lovely.
It fills you with pride.
Thanks. Yeah. We're really proud of that. There was a time in our history when like all of the items would be brought into the center of the room and all of the nonprofits like were given a garbage bag and then like raced to collect the things they need, and it didn't feel as good. It
feels like a game show and a little dehumanizing.
Yeah, a little bit. And so, you know, when we saw that the first year, I think Katie and I both looked at each other and we're like, "Nope, but what are we gonna do next year?" And that was the kind of like, how can we make this feel good and really lift up what the nonprofits are doing and their missions. And
it is not unusual for one of our participating nonprofits to leave with a new connection to somebody who is really excited about their mission and has a new supporter in the world. And so for us, there's a number of kind of strategies and goals that we're trying to do, you know, first and foremost, helping meet the need. And this year, honestly, is going to be a year with greater need. And we're already seeing that, you know, folks, SNAP benefits are still up in the air, or maybe not up in the air. But you know, there's a lot of families making some really hard choices right now. There's a lot of seniors making really hard choices right now. And so it'll be an important year for us to beat our records. And I so want to have to call Scott at Northeast Charter and be like, send another bus. that would be a winning year for me. So it's a great year to get involved. But those nights are just like, you really get to see how incredible it is. And we work with Elmet every year, and they donate, and they just do an incredible job both engaging their employees and shopping. And for the guys on the floor who lead the shopping trips, their kind of motto is like, we're going to get the cool stuff no one else will get for these kids. And so, like, they get, like, really, like, Razor scooters, and, like, they just do an incredible job. And so there's always a couple of bikes that we add to the bus at that stop. Our colleagues at New Beginnings, when we were talking one year in a radiothon, just said something that I'll never forget, and I think it's worth repeating every year, but that when you give a bike to a homeless youth, you are not giving them a toy. You're giving them means to their doctor's appointment, to their school, and to their work. And I think it's really easy to forget what your gift is doing for somebody until you think about it through that lens. And so it's not something I can unhear, and I think it's important to share. And so, yeah, we love the work that we get to do. It's a heck of a way to end a year.
So we'll be seeing you again on Thursday for Brewing Connections.
Yeah, so we're back at Schooner, and the road is open. Just a
wonderful
PSA in general, not just for our Brewing Connections folks, but for folks who are trying to get down Stetson to, you know, Andwell is down there and Schooner is down there. The road is open. The road is open.
Oh, I'm going to miss the scenic route.
Yeah, I mean, you can still take it.
I'm
that's
still going to take it.
You're welcome to.
It.
But if you, like me, forget that it's closed each and every time and then end up taking this in an unplanned way.
Totally had to do that once.
Yep.
Yeah.
Went through George's parking lot, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. They have they have some barriers up now.
They did then, too.
Ooh, good weaving.
I think it was because of those sketchy radio people that used to be there.
Yeah, I think it was definitely, and their guests.
That was us.
Oh!
Yeah, that legend still lives on. I hear people talk about it. No, it's, so we're at Schooner, and Brewing Connections is a really, for folks who think that breakfast is too early or too crowded, Brewing Connections is a great alternative.
Sure.
We have four member moments that we highlight. So current members get to take 5 minutes and five slides to talk about their business, to MythBust, to introduce a new program or product or team member. So we do four of those at the front, and then we do some speed networking and some curated relationship building. And the whole thing is within an hour from 8 to 9, and you're back at your desk if you need to be. We open the doors early, and we keep them open for an extra half hour so that you can have some extra time to network or either finish that conversation or start the one you didn't get paired with. But it's a really great event and super impactful. Like, a lot of business gets done as a result of those conversations. So this Thursday, our member moments that we're highlighting, we're super excited. Luigi Business Solutions, LLC, SPS Property Inspections, and Heartfelt Creations will be there with our own Start and Grow programming, talking about our business lab and how we're supporting entrepreneurs and small businesses. So it's an incredible group kicking off the hour, and then lots of time to connect and talk to other folks about their business and what they're doing. And so it's a low-cost, low-time commitment, high-impact event. We really try to make sure that there's some of those peppered in for folks, because it's hard to get away sometimes, and it needs to be meaningful. So Thursday, coming right up.
If you would like more information on anything Shanna has talked about, you can go online to lametrochamber.com. I just want to throw in that I have the privilege of working with Shanna on the official LA Metro Chamber podcast, and we're releasing an episode tomorrow. It was a good one.
So good.
Yeah.
We've had a run of so good ones, actually.
We're hitting our stride.
I also want to just hearken back, because I feel like I feel like I really wanted to talk to you specifically about this, Mark, because you and I interviewed Paul Karen. So if you go to Build, Lead, Thrive right now, that's like the most recent that's out, that and the special edition for Taste the Harvest. But we talked to him about a new home, which I got to go see. So incredible. I wept like a baby. Oh. I am such a sucker. Like, if for people who know me well, anytime there's any themes of patriotism or the flag or service, so Veterans Day is already a challenging one for me, I'm a sucker and I cry. And people had said the second act, like they give out tissues at intermission for people to make it through the second act. They were not there upon arrival. And from the opening song all the way through the first act, I was like, poor Chad, my partner, sitting next to me. And he'd just look over and like chuckle at me like, oh, here she goes again.
Oh, babe.
Like, yeah, no, it was. But also just like an incredible production. Yeah. I had a 26-person orchestra. Some of our own chamber members were in there. Shout out to Mike Truchon and his trumpet that was hooting from the backstage. But yeah, and Justin Morin, our own staff member, was one of the leads in the play. But a huge cast, really incredible dancing and music and acting and production. And it was a beautiful and moving tribute to our community and themes of immigration and economic development and community development. And it was really incredible.
Mm. Yeah, we had Justin is so humble.
I know.
We had him on the show on Halloween.
Just for funsies.
We were talking about a new home, and I was like, so you're the lead, right? And he's like, I'm on stage a lot.
Isn't he the sweetest?
He's so sweet.
He just did a really incredible job, and it was the whole performance was really heartwarming, and it was close enough for me to walk to, which was
I
didn't have to deal with the parking as people were leaving. It was really lovely.
So you're just walking,
I just
by
weaved through it and waved. Yep, it was awesome. Nice. It was awesome.
Yeah, so that is the brainchild of Paul Karen.
Yeah,
who also wrote and composed all the music as well.
Well, and the reason I want to give it a shout out is, you know, Chad and I had a lot of conversation about the themes in the play and what we were taking away from it, and his criticisms and appreciations, because there was far more gratitude than there was critiques. Anyway, I think the critiques are more critique on our community and how we've handled some of those changes over the time, of which this was the storytelling and less about the actual storytelling itself and delivery. But I had a really different perspective than him. And I know that it was because of that podcast and the conversations that we had with Paul about what he had hoped for, what he had put into it, what his purpose was in the update and the kind of revisit 30 years later. And so if you can't go see a new home, it's closed. So really sorry to be bragging about a wonderful show that you have no opportunity to see. But that said, go listen to the podcast. And particularly if you did go see the show, go hear his own words about what that show meant to him and what he loved and what he had hoped to achieve and all of the things with it. It was really, I'm so glad that we did that episode with him and got that story from him. It was really, it was really powerful. And I mean, I felt that way after the recording and walking out that day, but man, after I left the theater that night, I was like, oh, so grateful we had that conversation and got to like relive it in a different light. And so yeah.
It is too late to see a new home, but it's not too late to support CLT with their other productions that made a new home possible.
Yeah, so, and they've got a couple coming up. Yeah. And so I would encourage folks to check out the CLT page. They've got a number of shows through the end of the year. And if I was to biasly and blatantly give a shout out, which I will, shout out to our own Becca Tinkham, who's our director of marketing and is directing and producing Rocky for Equality, the Rocky Horror Picture Show. And so that's a fundraiser and a really incredible show that she's pouring her heart into, and they're doing a holiday twist on it. Mm-hmm. So her opening weekend is actually right after that crazy week at work that I was just describing.
That's right.
So it's December 12th and 13th. She's got shows, and and I have a family member performing in the show this year. So
that's wonderful.
Awesome.
And you can
support CLT in lots of different ways. You can be part of the board, which is coming up, and you can go to the shows, and you can be part of the volunteer team.
You can subscribe to the season.
Lots of ways to make sure that shows like A New Home continue to happen.
So Tomorrow, being released on Build, Lead, Thrive, is a friend of our podcast as well, Baxter Brewing president Jen Lever.
Oh, Jen, she's wonderful.
She's wonderful, and I love Jen anyway. I'm fortunate to like be able to spend more time with her than a lot of folks. She's on my board, and she supports our business advocacy work, and she's just an honest, truth-telling, straightforward kind of gal, which I really, really respect about her, and can do that, talk in that style while talking about like challenging and complex issues. And if you listen to the episode, you'll know that immediately. But she gut punched me with a response to one of our questions in that interview that I literally went home, reflected on, and was like, I'm going to share this right now, because when we do the recording on the fourth Wednesday of the month, depending on how the month falls, it can actually be like three and a half weeks before it gets released, and can sometimes be a really long time. And yeah, we asked her for advice for, you know, a younger version of herself or someone coming up in the industry. And she said vitality over utility. And just like, I think I define my whole life through utility. I'm not proud of that. And I've like slow walked towards that realization a number of years ago. And it's probably going to be my life's work kind of undoing that mindset. But man, the way she said it, and then she just let it sit. There was like silence for 5 seconds as I processed it and looked across at her, and I was like, oh.
And I'll tell you, as a podcast editor, I think of it
as
my job to delete any long pauses.
Did you let that one sit?
Let that one sit.
Bless your heart.
And being in the room helped.
Yeah, right.
And I think when people listen to it, they're going to get it.
Yeah.
Because she took a long pause before she said that, and when she said it, like you said, it was a gut punch.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very powerful.
Yeah.
Mark had the same reaction to it. He came in and he told me about it the next day.
You couldn't unthink about it. Yeah. Like, it just, you know, the biggest earworm ever, it just stuck in my head. And I know her and some of her story enough to know that is meaningful to her, because she also has to work at achieving it.
Mm.
Right, like that's not a given for her in her life, and I can really appreciate that and self-identify, but she let it sit for a second and then dropped it like she'd rehearsed it a million times, like she didn't hesitate, and then we let it sit for a second. So there's a good pause on either side of her response. She takes her work seriously. She's a dedicated leader. She's, you know, she does incredible work leading the Brewers Guild as well. She's the president of that board, and so. It is not that she's like frivolous with life or in any way, shape, or form. She's a really intentional, really talented, really smart woman leading a incredible brand with a whole bunch of lines of business underneath it while innovating, and still recognizes the importance of like health and taking care of yourself and in all of the ways that that means. And yeah, shout out to Jen.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mark, for lifting that up. It's going to
be a great episode.
Of course.
I'm glad that hit you. It feels nice to not have left that day changed alone. Thanks for that company and bearing
with us. Yeah, it was inspiring for sure.
Right?
Next year marks 30 years of Uncle Andy's Digest. What started as a beloved print publication has grown into Lydia Media, a full-service marketing partner helping local businesses thrive. From LA Metro Magazine and the Lydia's Lunch Bunch podcast to social media management, website design, and advertising across all platforms, we've got your marketing needs covered. If you're a business making a difference in our community, let's connect. Lydia Media is here to tell your story and help you grow. Lydia Media, in business, for business. Learn more at lydiamediallc.com.
All right, Shanna, as you know, we like to close out the show with your favorite segment, 3 Random Questions.
I can't wait.
I know.
Let's make them as random as possible.
Yeah.
Let's make them as random as possible.
Well, I won't answer squirrel.
This one?
We have a squirrel that hangs out here.
It's like
Your spirit animal.
Yeah, hey, buddy.
Shanna, if you could design your own work schedule, what would it look like?
Oh.
And it would work for the world and the people around me?
No, it works for you.
I love
that. Yeah, well, it works.
Utility again, right?
Yeah.
Here we are.
Yeah. You're not a tool.
Yeah, I know. I'm really working on it. I would not work from noon on Friday until Sunday at 8 p.m. I would work 2 hours on Sunday. I feel like there's a little short shot there that allows me to feel really good about starting my work week. And for me, that's part of it. Like, that's not I have to sit down on Sunday night and do that. It's like, that's that's the same as like laying out my clothes and making sure my laundry's done.
Yeah, it's just
away.
Like a little check-in. All right, yeah. What am I facing this mm-hmm. week?
Yep,
yeah.
And how can I like, you know, be in the mental game for mm-hmm. for really excelling at my week? Yeah. And so I think there's that. So I have two spurts of working best in terms of like mental acuity, productivity, kind of being in the flow really well. And so I love a good 7 in the morning until 11 in the morning. And then for me, I would, you know, dig in again from like 3 p.m. until 8 p.m. And like dinner and going to bed a little later would not bother me. That's I'm a like 6 hours a night kind of gal, but like that stretch is really great. And if I, and so I mean I owned my own business for 6 years, and these hours actually did work for me because it allows you to have doctor's appointments or errands or go to the DMV in the middle of the day when things are open. And that's a good time. Like I'm an extrovert, so that's a good time for me to have social interactions and fill my cup up and you know come back and be good to go.
Wait, you're an extrovert?
I know. I know, it's wild.
Weird.
Never would have pegged me for it. But yeah, so that would be my ideal schedule. And in all honesty, probably with a midday off. Mm. Like probably with like a, you know, a Wednesday or a Thursday off wouldn't be the and you know, for folks who have never met me or listened to this podcast with me on it before, I'm like good for a 65-70 hour work week on average all the time. And so it's not like about shirking work. It's really about finding that balance. And for me, I think for most people, like that balance doesn't come between 8 and 5 Monday through Friday. Yeah. Like that's not when your kids' games are. That's not when your doctor's appointments or dentist appointments are. Like I think a little bit more fluidity to a schedule reflects the balance of what life demands of you and not just what you want out of life, because there's all of these competing priorities. And so I think that's what my ideal work schedule would look like, which on a side note, because I don't want to forget to mention it today, I might be resuming in April as I transition out of this role. That news broke back in June, but the update is the job description is posted and the search committee has begun its work in both recruiting and reviewing applicants. So if you have a vested interest in the chamber and its future, talk to people who you know would be incredible and encourage them to consider it. Mm-hmm. Now's the time.
JC, what do you got?
If you could be any age for the rest of your life, which would you choose?
Oh, I loved 39. 39 was a really good, and not because like I was scared of becoming 40, but for whatever reason, 39 was like a really good year. I feel like the lower back pain hadn't set in like the way it is. My eyes hadn't, I didn't need readers. So like physically, but I also so much wiser at 39 than I was at 25 or even 32. And I mean, this year's pretty good too, but like, yeah, I feel like there's a blend of, being old enough to appreciate how young you are and being young enough to enjoy the world and the things around you. And for a lot of people, myself included, when I was younger, I was sure that was like 25. Mm. There's this confidence in yourself and in your work that comes from the wisdom of having lived longer. It's not even just what you've done, what experiences you've had, but sometimes it is just about the time that you've put in. And yeah, I feel like that was a sweet spot for me. Mm. That's a good question.
You ready?
Yeah.
If you could have a lifetime supply of any item, what would it be?
Oh, listen, toilet paper. I hate the like regularness of which you need to buy it and the good stuff.
Yeah.
My kids like helped out. Air quotes, and brought home toilet paper 2 weeks ago, and I like kept one roll to get us through the shortage and sent the rest upstairs to their bathroom. I was like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
That is also wisdom I gained at 39. Yeah.
What's your go-to teepee?
Charmin.
Oh.
Little like soft touch.
Yeah. I like the quilted northern.
Yeah. That's also a good one. It's also a good one. I was a Scott girl forever. Because, you know, ultimately, A, I was poor for a long time, and B, I had 3 young children who used
so much toilet paper.
Inappropriate amounts of
totally.
Plumbing causing issues amounts of toilet paper. And so, yeah, you had to be fiscally smart for a long time. But yeah, so here we are. Toilet paper. Mm-hmm. Also, if there's ever another pandemic, this will guarantee my survival. So, yeah, right. Lots of other things I like a lot, but nothing that I need as regularly.
Sure.
And just remembering whether you've got it or not. So if the question is really like, what would miraculously reappear and refill in your house, then that's my answer.
Throw the paper.
I don't ever want to have to think about it again.
Mm.
Shannon, it's always a pleasure. Thanks so much for joining us
today.
Thanks
for having me.
We appreciate you, and we'll see you on Thursday.
Yay!
Can't wait.
Thanks to Rupert's Beverage and Redemption and DeBlois Electric for sponsoring today's episode. And if you would like to be part of the Lydia's Lunch Bunch advertising family, reach out to Pam Ashby via email at pam@lydiamediallc.com.
Have a great day. And remember, don't bite your cat. And I will say I have...